Tracy, and Tracy has quite a story, and but more than anything, I think Tracy is someone just who's full of integrity and who I watch seeing her walk with God and grow with God, and I just wanted her to come and tell us all about that.
Okay.
So I'm going to pray and hand over to her. Father, thank you for what you have done and what you are doing and what you will do in Tracy's life. And we pray that as she shares something of what you've put on her heart this morning for us, that we would be encouraged and challenged, and that we would see just that set glimpse of what it is that you want to speak into our lives, and that you would open up our ears, our spiritual ears, to hear your word. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. It's great to see you all this morning, and it's a real privilege to be here with so many people to share with you some of what God has been doing in my life. I work with Hilary, I see her every day. I also go to Willowfield Parish Church, and I'm a mum of one little girl, Leah, who's now six. And any of us that are parents know it's not an easy job. It's full of ups and downs, but it's a real privilege. Doing it solo, I'm a single mum, so doing that, it has its own unique set of challenges. We live in Belfast, my little girl has particular learning difficulties, so she's in a school down there, which is really tailored to exactly what she needs. So that's definitely where we should have been, and it's a real privilege. But having our support network in Banbridge, all those willing babysitters, all the aunties, the cousins, and things like that, it just means that your options are sometimes a bit limited. Sometimes you just can't say yes to stuff that you want to do, and that's fine. My job is to be a mummy. But increasingly over the last couple of years, there has been a frustration in that I have felt God has placed a specific call on my life, and just my circumstances going along just would dictate that that wasn't even possible. But God's true to his word, God's word is truth. And what he's called out in us, he will honour and he will see fulfilled. I haven't been a Christian for that long. Well, I became a Christian after Leah was born, so nearly about 6 years ago now. And there's a really good quote out of C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity, which helps explain some of what that feels like to become a Christian for the first time, having left behind the life that I led. So I'd like to read that to you. It's known as the Palace of the Lord. So he asks us to imagine ourselves as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house. And at first he tackles such jobs as getting the leaking roof fixed, getting the drains right, and so on. You knew that these jobs needed doing, so it's no surprise, and you're comfortable with that. But presently, he starts knocking down the house in ways that hurt abominably, and which don't at times even seem to make sense. And the answer is that he's building quite a different house than you thought of. He's throwing up a new wing here, putting an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You maybe thought you were being made into a cosy, decent wee cottage, but he's building a palace and he intends to come and live in it himself. You see, the thing is, we're made for so much more than we can even imagine sometimes, and God wants the best for us. Who wouldn't be comfortable with the cosy little cottage? But in fact, God's saying that you're made for more than that, and he has plans for each and every one of us. So he starts messing around with the very design, the very thing that makes us. And he does that to each one of us. He does that to you and I as followers of God. But he also has a plan for all of creation. He has the plans laid out from the beginning of the earth. He's the master architect, and he chooses to use us, even me. He chooses to use each of us. When I first became a Christian, there was the obvious stuff that needed to be dealt with. There was attitudes, my choice language perhaps, the way I spoke and treated people, and they were things that I knew I was prepared for. God was going to sort those things out, so it didn't come as a surprise. But then there's the ripping up the floor stuff, the actual relaying the foundations. And I don't know whether any of you have seen a house renovation or even the smallest of jobs, but there's a lot of dirt and muck and dust that comes up with that. But then that's stuff that God wants to do to us. Because he's made us for so much more, so he wants to fix that in each one of us. And even if you've just became a Christian for the first time, or wherever you are in your journey, I think sometimes God wants to rip up those foundations. Sometimes there's stuff that he needs to get to the root of. And we all know that that can be painful at times. And at the very least, it can be challenging. Standing up here today, talking to nearly 300 people, it's not really my idea of cozy cottage living. But God has called us for so much more. And he wants us to realize the people that we are in him. So pulling up the foundations of my life include a lot of stuff around relationships. Leah and I have a great relationship with our father now. I couldn't be without him. He's fantastic. But when I first became a Christian, things weren't great. We were actually at the stage where we were going through solicitors just to be able to communicate. And it was toxic. It wasn't good for me. It wasn't good for him. And it certainly wasn't good for Leah. And the relationship with my own mum had passed breaking point at that stage. So there was all those things God needed to work out in me. And also becoming a Christian, having lived 30 years without walking with the Lord, there was a lot of stuff that God was bringing up that I was ashamed of. Things that I had done, attitudes that I had had, my behaviours, the way I'd lived up until that point. And although I knew God's love and I had known of his grace, this was a lot to sort of deal with. All that past regret, all that shame, bitterness, anger, all those things were coming up. Looking back, I can now see, although I wouldn't have been aware of it at the time, that I always had a deep insecurity. I never felt good enough. I certainly didn't have any self-value. And I suppose, looking back now, it's easy to see that that was what caused some of my behaviours and some of my attitudes. So those were things that God really wanted to work out in me. The fact that I just wanted to belong made me into this person that just wasn't who God intended me to be. And there's a verse in Proverbs, it's from Proverbs 23:7, and it says, "So as he thinks within himself, so he is." So I was a Christian, but I was still Tracy, the unmarried mum. The disappointment, the not good enough, the shame, the dirt, all those labels, all those things that I had put upon myself, God was working hard to try and work those things out. And you know, having to look at the old stuff as it came out as well, that brought up a lot of hurt and shame. And there was times I just didn't even know who I was. I was caught in that limbo between, yes, I'm a new creation, I'm forgiven, but I could still see the old me and the things that had to be dealt with. And it was during this time I remember praying to God and just asking him who I am. Who am I in you? And I remember at the time just getting a picture of a little white stone, and it was so clear, it was so vivid, and it didn't really mean anything to me, so I didn't think too much about it. But as the days went on, just going about my everyday business, this image of the wee white stone, it just kept coming back to me. So I prayed, and I prayed, and I didn't get the big booming voice from heaven telling me exactly what this meant. So I did what anybody in my position would do. I Googled it. And the verse of scripture that came up was from Revelations 2:17. "Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give him some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name on it, known only to the one who receives it." And I know with a lot of scripture, there will be different interpretations of what this verse actually means. But I'd like to share with you today what it actually meant in my life at that time. You see, God knew that what I needed to figure out was my identity, who I was. And he knew that I needed to put off the old me and actually discover who I am and who Jesus sees me as. And when it talks about the white stone in Revelation, it talks about us having a stone with our name on it, that Jesus has and he's always had since the start of time. And I mean, a name, what is a name? It's our identity. It's how we're identified. And actually what God was saying to me so clearly through this verse is, you are not who you think you are. Your identity is not the identity that is given by this world, by the people around you, and even by yourself. I know who you are, and I'm going to be here to help you work out who you are. One of my daughter's favourite biblical truths is the fact that before she was even born, God knew who she was. And that God has a plan for her life and he has a purpose for her life. And as she grows up, God will have a job that only she can do. And the amazing thing is you get to see a six-year-old who has such a beautiful relationship with Jesus, being so excited about her future walk with the Lord. There's a custom in ancient law, biblical law, whereby a person that is pressed with charges, they may be eligible for trial, they may be eligible for bail. And how they would get bailed out is a family member would go and purchase a little white pebble from the magistrate and give it to that person. The person would then give that stone to the accuser. And once that white stone passes to the accuser, that's it. The charges can't be brought again. They have no legal right to take that person back under the same charge. And that's really what Jesus has done for us. He has bought us a white stone with his blood. He has said that we are not guilty and we can't be charged once we ask for his forgiveness. Romans 8:1 tells us, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." So what I do when the devil comes to remind me of my past, I remind him of his future. I remind him of the triumph that Jesus has won for all of us, the victory that we have in Jesus. And actually, I have to remind myself that sometimes whenever I look back on those things and I give myself a hard time and I'm being convicted of those things, not by God, but whenever I'm giving myself a hard time, I have to remember that what Jesus did on the cross is big enough. It's big enough for me. And for me to look back on that nearly says that he hasn't done enough. And that's just not true. That's just lies. And I guess one of the things that was hardest for me to understand, and I still struggle with sometimes because I get it wrong, is just the sheer wealth of God's grace. Just the sheer wealth of his forgiveness and grace. I said before, I've grown up, I've been quite insecure most of my life, all of my life. And I sort of look back and see that I've had relationships that are like on a timer. And by that I mean, there's going to be a certain time where that person really figures out what I'm like. Be that relationships, or in my job, my colleague. Hillary's a wee bit slower. We've been working together now for a few years. I've not got twigged on yet. But because of that, I've had 20 different jobs. I've had 26 addresses. A lot of that was temp, and I chose to temp for a number of years because the timer never ran out on that. I could be me, I could be nice, and I could be away in a few months and I'll never figure it out, you know. And I guess that's the way I was with God's grace, is, you know, really, is God big enough? You know, I'm still messing up, you know, I'm still getting it wrong every day. But to know that God's grace is just big enough, and he's never let me down. It's like that song before, he's never let me down, and he's always shown up, no matter how much I mess up. Jesus gave us a white stone pardon. Because we're champions, we're not losers. There was a tradition in the first Olympics where whoever won their particular race or whatever, the victors, they got a crown with leaves on it, and they also got a white stone. And the idea being that eventually the crown will wither, the tears of the crowd will be forgotten, and the victory might be a distant memory, but this stone is a reminder always of that achievement. And in Romans 8:37, we are told that in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So no matter what we have to overcome, we do that with the power of Jesus' victory already in us. We are champions. Having Jesus hasn't meant that my life's been easy. In fact, as I grow closer to him, it gets more challenging. Like I say, this is, you know, out of your comfort zone stuff. God continually tries to push us. Because he knows who we are and we're made for better things. I can't imagine what my life would be like if I didn't have Jesus in it. But as I said, I mentioned earlier, there's been a frustration. I've felt a specific call in my life from God now for over 5 years. And that just hasn't even been a possibility. But even within the last 6 months, there's things that are just coming together, you know, in a way that I couldn't even imagine, that are making things that I thought were impossible a possibility. Jesus has never let me down. He knows the plans that he has for me. He knows my past, where I'm from, but he also knows the path that he wants me to take. And he says that I'm worth dying for, that I'm valued. Honourable guests of the city in the ancient Greece would have also been given a white stone by the city, which basically meant they could go into the marketplace and purchase whatever they liked, and it was totally free. The city paid the cost for it. And that's also what Jesus does for us. But I think as well is that Jesus asks us for the white stone of our heart. He wants each of us to let him have carte blanche with us, to let him in to do the things that he needs to do in our lives to make us the people that we were always intended to be. And it's a real privilege to be able to share with you what a simple white stone has meant in my life. And I have today brought along a little jar with white stones in it. And as the man says, there's enough for everybody in the audience. And there'll be an opportunity later to respond, to come for prayer ministry. And if you feel it's appropriate, you can help yourself to one of these white stones. And whether that be that it's just that time where you need to give that white stone of your heart to God and let him in to do his work. Or maybe there's stuff that you're dealing with in your life that you need a reminder that you're already a champion, you're already victorious, that you have God's strength in you to overcome whatever is going on in your life. Or maybe you need to set aside stuff that's happened in the past and be reminded that we are forgiven, be reminded of the forgiveness and the grace of God. So wherever you find yourself today, I hope that that's been an encouragement, and I hope that you will take a white stone and just, yeah, enjoy the journey of finding out who you are in God and who your identity is. I'd just like to finish off praying for each of us. So, Lord, we do thank you of the victory that you have won for us already. And, Lord, we thank you that your grace is sufficient. And, Lord, that you are made strong in our weakness. And we thank you that wherever we are today, Lord, you are a God who's never going to let us down and never run out on us, Lord. And we just pray for more of you here today, for more of your spirit. And we give the glory and the honour to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tracy, thank you so much for the challenge and the encouragement.